It's nice to be liked, isn't it? But sometimes we're not. Sometimes people don't appreciate who we are or how much effort we've put into something, and that can cause us hurt and pain. Turns out that being a people pleaser, a lot of the time, is a painful way to live. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thanks for joining me as today we take another look at the pain in your life from a different perspective. And please do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about the powerful prayer that could be coming your way to help you through whatever you happen to be dealing with in your life just at the moment. You know something? It's really nice to be liked. I mean, it's so nice when we have friends and people who encourage us and they all like us. It's so nice when our boss at work appreciates us and encourages us and rewards us. Those things are fantastic. But, you know, here's the thing. We can end up becoming addicted to the praise and recognition of other people. As much as it's nice to serve others, if what we hang out for is the reward of recognition, if that's why we do what we do, so that someone will shine the limelight on us for a while and make us feel good as we bask in the warmth and the glory of our achievement, if that's what makes us tick, we're going to be in for a lot of pain. Why? Because if people-pleasing is our gig, then what happens when no one notices the good things we do? What happens when we do good for a person who has their own failings? Maybe they're so insecure they can't possibly acknowledge the good that we've just done for them. Do you see the fine line between being a great servant and helping people on the one hand and being a people-pleaser on the other? And that line in the sand between the two, is all about our level of maturity. It's about doing what we do for the right reasons rather than the wrong ones. Some personality types are naturally inclined to becoming people pleasers. In fact, next week I'm going to have my good friend Keith Henry on the program. Keith and I co-authored the book My Personality GPS, which is all about the God-given personality types we've been given. And we're going to look at the Achilles heel, if you will, the particular immaturity that each of the personality types in the Bible is prone to. And it's the heart people, the carers and the givers, who are most prone to being hurt through a lack of recognition. Of course, it's not unique to them. I don't care who we are or what our God-given personality type is. We've all experienced the disappointment of a lack of recognition or reward. I'm sure you can think back to some situation in your childhood that was like that. It just wasn't fair. You worked so hard on that project, but someone else came first. Someone else got the prize. We cleaned up our room at home, but Mum and Dad didn't even notice. They didn't say anything. And so we became discouraged, even angry, and often we just gave up. That, my friend, is a child's response. It's not an unreasonable response for a child, because a child isn't yet mature. A child hasn't yet travelled through the trials that teach them about life and develop wisdom and maturity inside them. But here's the question. Is it a reasonable response for an adult? Should the absence of recognition or reward cause us pain and disappointment and discouragement, even immobilizing us from doing good again? Well, should it? Paul the Apostle was an out-there kind of guy. He went through so much in his quest to travel throughout the known world in the first century, telling people the good news about Jesus. People tried to kill him on more than one occasion. There were riots and imprisonments and beatings and shipwrecks. He was bitten by a poisonous snake. And for the most part, people criticized him and they rejected him. In fact, they accused him. They said, "You're not really one of the apostles." And you can often read in his letters how he has to justify the fact that he is, in fact, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And yet today we're still reading the books he wrote in the New Testament. Almost half of the books in the New Testament are written by Paul. Back then, in his Roman dungeon, which is where he wrote at least some of them, Paul didn't always feel the warm glow of appreciation, if you take my drift. So did it discourage Paul? Well, let's have a listen to what he said about this in his letter to his good friends in the church in Galatia. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Ain't that the truth? If he'd listened to the people who tried to kill him, the people who beat him, the people who rioted against him and drove him out of town, the people who criticized him and derided him and denigrated him, had he been pleasing those people? he simply wouldn't have remained a servant of Christ. And we wouldn't be sitting here talking about the things God inspired him to write, which are now part of the New Testament. I mean, do you get it? As I said right at the outset, it's great when we get on with people and they appreciate us, but on the ocean of life that we sail, it won't always be a fair-weather ocean. People won't always have good intentions. Sometimes we'll be on the receiving end of their sin. And if we're still living the childish ways of being a people-pleaser, then it's going to hurt. Man, is it going to hurt? Jesus said exactly the same thing. Come with me, please, to John chapter 15, beginning at verse 18. If the world hates you, be aware that it hated me before it hated you, said Jesus. If you belong to the world would love you as its own. But because you don't belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, servants are not greater than their master. If they persecuted me, said Jesus, they're going to persecute you. If they kept my word, they keep yours also. But they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me also hates my Father. If I had not done among them works that no one else did, they would not have sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. It was to fulfill the word that was written in their law, they hated me without a cause. They hated Jesus so much, they nailed him to a cross. But that didn't discourage him from doing what he was called to do, from doing what was right. I listen to all the criticism that comes my way, and as you might imagine, I cop quite a bit of it. If I've made a mistake or done something wrong or misrepresented God's word, or well, I am the first one to say, you know what, I got that one wrong. I have to fix that. But you know something, 99.9% of the flack that comes my way is from the people that Jesus was talking about in that passage in John chapter 15. And once I've honestly and openly discerned the difference, that 99.9%, I've got to tell you, goes in the bin, and it will not, let me say it again, it will not discourage me or slow me or prevent me from telling people about Jesus and living my life for him, albeit that I don't have to do that perfectly every day, just the best way I know how, given where I am on my journey with him. When I was a child, I did childish things. But God tells me that he wants me to be mature, to gain wisdom through the trials, to be complete and lacking in nothing, James chapter 1. And sometimes that means I can't please the people who listen or the people who are around me. I'm sorry about that. It's just the way it is. Friend, as we grow up and mature, we learn that doing what is right has its own rewards. Sometimes people will love us for it. Other times they'll hate us for it. That's just the way it is. And the thing I've discovered is that when the rest of the world turns against us for simply giving out the love we have in our hearts, there is a joy and a peace in our relationship with God that is better than anything they have to offer. So let me leave you with this thought. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we don't give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. That's maturity. And when we live life that way, the pain of rejection, the lack of appreciation, all that stuff, that pain simply goes away. Before I go, I'd just like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would love to pray for you. Listen, the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential. Your name won't be displayed. And in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could pray for one or two others and leave them an encouraging word as well. The Bible says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So let us pray for you and with you. And let's just see what God does, how he intervenes, how he chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. I'm Bernie Dimet. I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.